So despite the fact that outcome investing isn't clearly articulated in any law that you would find, there are components of the law that really play into an analysis of how you structure these kinds of transactions. And one of the first things I think that I came across when I was thinking about these things are, is a particular project now a grant or a contract? We're all lawyers in this room, and we all know that grants are contracts too. But oftentimes I find from a funding perspective and an internal budgeting perspective and oftentimes even a process perspective, there's this somewhat artificial bifurcation of things as grants or contracts for services. And so there are different tax treatments, as you might imagine, that attend to each one of those things. So sometimes we have to spend some time thinking through that. I'll talk about that more in a minute. Private benefit for any of us is always a concern about the activities that we're funding, and it's certainly true here. Where expenditure responsibility is involved, which are grants by a foundation to organizations that aren't themselves charities or charity-like entities, additional constraints apply on how and what you can fund. And so when you start to think about incentive payments, that can get a little messy. And in the world of unintended consequences, another thing that we've bumped up against when looking at outcome investing this way is, have you inadvertently structured something as a loan or a gift, which can have, again, some unpleasant consequences if that's not what you meant to do, which is kind of true for most things in life, right? So I'll start with the grant and contract conversation, and it really matters for a number of reasons, because the law does set out these two different regimes around whether something is a grant or something is a payment for services. That's acute for organizations, funding organizations that are foundations. We pay a lot of attention to whether something is subject to expenditure responsibility, ER, or not. It can have some public support test implications depending on the type of exempt organization you are. Certainly matters a lot for private operating foundations, which have to show that they're undertaking a certain amount of activities directly. And then there are some other issues that pop up, which are also in your materials. So some of you who have deeply read the code and had the pleasure know that the IRS can pretty much recharacterize a transaction as a grant or contract depending on the facts and circumstances. And where that really matters is, especially if you're a private foundation, if you have awarded an entity a contract, you think you've structured something as a contract, and the IRS says, no, actually, we think that was a grant. Oh, and guess what? You failed to exercise expenditure responsibility. That's not a great scenario for anybody involved. So sometimes where things look a little fuzzy or you're not sure if it's a grant or contract, it does make sense to go a little bit deeper. And fortunately there, the law does give us a bit of guidance, which says, in the foundation regulation context, that grants are things that you'd probably normally think of as grants, awards, fellowships, scholarships, even prizes. But things that don't constitute grants are essentially payments for services. And especially, these regulations put that in the context of services that help a foundation do its, conduct its activities, plan its strategies, share information, that sort of thing. So, there are some various sites. I'm not, much to your disappointment, going to read off these things. They're really for you as a resource. But it is important sometimes to determine whether you've awarded a grant or contract. The thing that I find much more interesting and the things that I get a lot of questions around from internal program teams are, yep, that's the law, great. What are you really talking about here when you're saying something is a grant or a contract? And so there are some ways you can distinguish based on the law that I've just briefly flashed across your screen. These are summarized in the charts that are in the materials as well. So when I, at the end of the day, think about whether something's a grant or contract or should be, one of my first questions to my own program folks are, how much do you expect to be engaged in this project, both in the design of it, in the management of it, in specifying the deliverables and things that you want as outcomes? And where there is intellectual property involved, I will also say, okay, well, if something, we call them funded developments at the foundation, if there's a funded development arising from this project, what do you want to do with it? Who do you expect will own it? Because these are some of the key questions that can then drive the structure in cases where it's not clear. I also look at things like, well, who are we going to be partnering with? You know, if we're going to be partnering with a for-profit consulting firm, giving them a grant might be a little weird for all involved. You know, and that's technical tax speak, by the way, for those of you who don't know. It can be hard for an entity like that to take on grant obligations in a way that ensures compliance. And it might be easier to structure those types of relationships as a contract because that's their normal way of doing business. So the slides, this one and the next, are really meant to say, here are some things you might think about when someone comes to you and says, these are the things I want to achieve, and they're looking to you to advise on the right structure for that arrangement. So those are all in your material.